Well, welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. We got Don sitting here.
I'm in the studio.
Ava.
I'm here.
And I am here, Eric. And we are your hosts for today. And we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about some water levels, Don, that are changing. And I think maybe surprise some people after what we had as far as winter. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about Devil's Lake also. And what's going on in Devil's Lake at the same time. So a lot more stories to come. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Ashkenham Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenham offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see you, Don.
Yeah, good to be seen.
It's a lot of crazy weather this last week.
It's going around and all over the Midwest.
Yeah, lots of water. And obviously, speaking from where we are broadcasting down in Red Wing, the water levels are arising.
Yep, they're on the way up. I think the last I heard, the river was about 6 feet over normal. Is that about right? Is that about 11, 12 feet?
Right now, it's going to be over 12.
Yeah.
And they start closing some of the ramps down. I know Everett's will stay open if you guys are coming out this way to participate. Recommendation, you'll catch some fish in the river. The lake is starting to catch fish, so don't be afraid to launch further down in the lake. But be aware of the debris, no matter where you're going. Right now, I was talking to a couple guys who are on the river. There's a lot of neutrally buoyant logs on the river. And first,
that means they're a foot below the water.
Or just at the surface, because they're being pulled off ashore. They've been soaking, they've basically been laying in the water for so long, and now they're being pulled off ashore with the volume of water. And it's not a good thing at all, as well as the buoys, markers.
The buoys, and you know, and there's going to be a considerable amount of current. What do you suppose the current's running at now in the river?
I don't care to guess. It's moving.
Yeah.
It's moving.
10, 12?
Not quite that fast.
Maybe not quite that fast.
But I will say this. You got to be careful in the buoys in the river. You don't want to be driving a fast speed. Mutual friend of ours last year.
Found one.
Yeah. And it was because of the barge was not in the channel where it was supposed to be. It grabbed a buoy, dragged it into the main channel, and because the chain on it was such a distance to be up on a higher level, near the shallower area, it was underwater and not visible. And it's amazing the damage that you will incur. It basically scraped 5 feet of the fiberglass off, or the gel coat off the bottom, crushed the, and it's a fiberglass boat, crushed the plug in the back of the boat so you could barely get the plug out. And then it proceeded to separate the gear case and the midsection from the power head of the motor. And a 150 at 30 miles an hour, it hooked it and almost pulled it right out of and off of the engine, but it stayed connected because the shift shaft stayed on it, and it was about a 10-inch separation between the gear case and the midsection where it broke, and then the upper portion with the drive shaft bent. And I don't know if you've ever seen a drive shaft in a motor bent before. That takes energy.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, no, I've had a friend that about took his transom off up in Canada once.
It's dangerous.
Yep.
I mean, surprisingly enough, but you can catch fish in the dirty water.
Yep.
And talked to a couple of buddies of mine that were out today and last couple of days this week, and they actually caught some fish, and they were jigging some key spots that were out of the main flow, which is important.
Right.
The bigger fish are going to be hanging in those areas, especially post-spawn. And darker lures have a tendency to work really well.
In dirty water.
In the dirty water.
Yep.
And it always has been the case. So use that or a rattle bait. A rip and wrap is a great one for that. Use a number six if you're in shallow water. And it works just, or five or six, and they work tremendously well. Pull it, you'll feel it vibrate, let it sink, let it drop, pull it aggressively, let it drop, follow it down, because they'll hit it on the way down.
Sure.
And you pop it back. And the other thing that's fun, from fishing Green Bay, clear water, they'll actually pin it. So in there, it's a little different. When you're pulling it up and you drop it down, what'll happen is they'll pin it to the ground. When you go to set the hook, it's like you're snagged, and you have to look at the rod. You're like, oh.
Yep.
It's moving. Yep. I got one. So yep. A lot of fun, but use some different baits. Don't get stuck in one thing and focus on some of those areas that are just off the main channel, maybe some deeper areas that the females are going to sit in. And obviously in lake scenarios, the lakes are warming up rather rapidly. But don't be afraid to start putting crawlers out there and leeches. So you'll find that those are definitely going to be a good deal. So be safe, have some fun, and watch for that debris. Whether it's a lake or a river, doesn't matter, because the lakes are still going to have debris with the amount of water that's in them, which we will talk about in just a little while after the break. So real quick story out of Minnesota. I didn't think this was possible. Wild fox in Minnesota tests positive for the highly pathogenic avian influenza.
He got in the chicken coop, did he?
I suspect that's very possible what happened. They conducted testing with DNR with many wildlife diseases, including canine distemper and rabies in foxes. A lot of reports coming in with those pieces and parts, but a wild fox from Anoka County tested positive for the avian influenza. First confirmed case in a wild mammal in Minnesota, and the university just came up with that. They had two red fox kits in Ontario that also tested positive. It's the first reported cases of the outbreak in North America. So I think it's going to happen relatively quickly, and unfortunate as it is, you always want to make sure that you report any dead or sick waterfowl and or raptors, and it should be reported, and do not touch those and let them know, as it is a possible spreader event.
Sure.
They get spread fast. We had talked about a little bit before, but now it can go to other animals that do eat a diseased animal. So kind of a spooky deal. Spooky deal.
Right.
Well, hang tight, you guys. We're going to be coming right back. We're going to talk a little bit about some Red Lake. What's going on in Red Lake? I think a lot of people are looking for some alternative good fishing spots. So fill you in on that. Be right back. Lots of cool stuff going to be coming up here pretty quick, Don, on the old The Valley Outdoors website.
Something really exciting is going to be brought to your attention next week.
Which is going to be awesome. And you will want to stay tuned. You will want to know. And, it's something that everybody would put a smile on your face.
Let's put Absolutely.
It that way. Yeah. Put a smile on my face.
Yep. Me too.
Exactly. Story coming out of Red Lake, Minnesota. A lot of people may or may not be familiar with Red Lake. Lots of people I've talked to in the last couple of weeks have been talking about going to Red Lake this year. It's one of the largest natural lakes in the state of Minnesota. It's huge lake. Huge upper and lower Red.
Any idea what the dimensions are? There's an upper and lower part
right,
of it, right?
Upper and lower. I don't have the dimensions. We can probably come up with them for the next.
I mean, is it 20 miles?
I don't have.
By 10?
I'm not going to guess. It's a lot of area.
Massive.
It's
now, massive. For a lake, though, is it a deep lake? It's fairly shallow. I've never fished it personally.
It's fairly shallow. Amazing for crappies. And, of course, the history of it, there's a lot of history that goes on with the lake. It had been fished out with the netting of the lake. They came to the state of Minnesota, the DNR. They asked them to help with it. The DNR said, okay, we have to cut this off. No walleye fishing for a period of time. We'll help restock. And the crappies took off. They were catching 1.5 pound, 2 pound crappies. And it was just like the Mecca. Everybody drove up there because they heard what was going on. It was incredible, amazing fishery, and just what a great way to go. And of course, when that happens, then everybody
goes.
It goes, and you get a lot of fish pulled out. But nonetheless, it came back. Walleye came in. So it happened twice on that cycle where they was depleted from netting. It's back, and it's better than ever. And they actually have bumped the limit now this year to 4 walleyes. Last year it was 3. And obviously the open water fishing on the states of Minnesota are open. They open on the 14th. And now you're able to have 4 walleye with 1 walleye longer than 20 inches. Last year it was 3 walleye, 1 over 17 inches. And the design of that is to make sure that you stay within a certain X number of pounds to harvest.
So obviously they're growing fast. I mean, I heard they did pretty well ice fishing up there this past year too. You know, and this probably applies to similar lakes in other states in the Northland, you know, like Michigan, Wisconsin. They got to have a similar type body of water out there that could be managed very similar.
And the nutrients and the bait fish in that lake have just taken off tremendously. Mm-hmm. Really, it's an amazing fishery, and it's done quite well. And they were quite surprised, actually, the DNR, that the population was so amazing. So that was a good year class of that particular group of fish, and they are happy that the anglers are going to have the ability to harvest a few more and larger fish this summer. And that due to the combination of lower winter harvest and the desire to manage spawning stock at a level that stimulates recruitment of a strong year class, that's what they're looking to adjust with that increase in the limits. And the 22-23 winter harvest regulations will be determined. And again, that's going to be for ice fishing up there after the summer fishing season. And an advisory committee will be reviewing all the harvest totals and deciding on regulation options at that point. So it is quite a success story. We talked a little bit about it. But over-harvest caused a population to literally collapse. That was in the 90s, and since then they brought it back and have done quite an amazing, amazing, like you said, success with
right.
that aspect. So pretty cool and nice to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully they can maintain that level of a fishery now going into the future. So, you know, because you can fish a body of water out.
Yeah,
I mean it's happened. So
Yeah.
Then you end up with no take.
Not a good thing.
No harvest. That's not a good thing.
Exactly. Moving on to something that I think you're kind of a aficionado of is baits. All types of baits, right?
Okay.
Crank baits, etc. You go to tour and look at different antique baits.
Yeah.
Well, I decided to kind of bow to your whim and what you like to participate in, only take it to another extreme.
All right.
I am going to give you the 15 most expensive swim baits in the world. We're going to get to top 10. We're going to cover 10. Top 10.
Most expensive.
Most expensive swim baits in the world. Now, swim baits have been around forever. They're designed and they look like fish. They have joints in the center. They can be large and out in California, they use them a lot. Castaic swim baits are just to get some ginormous baits, right?
Yep.
So just a little history, each one. The Manifold Dinero Yugo frame, and that one is, take a poke. What do you think?
No idea what you're talking about.
It's a swim bait. It's a high-end swim bait.
Are you looking for the most expensive?
Yeah.
The most expensive is a Haskell Minnow.
No, I'm saying a swim bait, not an antique one. These are real usable, brand new. Go to buy it at a store.
I have no idea.
So at over a grand. The massive bait is from Japan. It's a class of its own. The costs don't stop at the lure because the glide bait's over 21 inches long, weighs 43 ounces, and requires something more than even a typical swim bait rod to launch it effectively. It requires a break-in process to properly age the leather that coats the exterior. To build one of them, one of the baits, it's labor-intensive. The leather needs to be hand-stitched. The manufacturer claims that it provides action and texture close to that of a natural bait fish. $1,147.
Wow, my Haskell Minnow's worth more than that. But I don't have one. I wish I did.
No, yeah, right. But it's also antique. This is
yes.
new. You imagine having a professional overrun and all you hear is that snap and watch the bait go?
Yeah. I can't imagine. I can imagine it. I don't want to imagine it.
Unbelievable. Okay, so we'll through some of these. We got another bait called the Roman Made Mother, $440. That's
name made. One I've heard of.
I got nothing so far. the Depths Slide Minnow, that's $250. It's a Magnum swim bait. The Kisu Katitsu, that's $170. Magnum Japanese swim bait. Standing, it's a good bait. I've seen that before. Excessive action is the big telltale on that one. The DRT Tiny Clash, $109.
Never heard of it.
The Roman Made South, $140.
What are we fishing with these
ABT
things?
Lures Extreme Wrap Suicide Glide Bait, $139. The 315 Workhorse, $274. The JBJ Baits Siren Slide, $135. And the number 10, the Depths Bull Shooter, $160. And
I'd like to know if anybody in our listening audience owns one of these.
I'm going to bet
not.
Let's say if you have any of these high-end baits that are new, not antique,
I want to
send
see a
us
picture.
A photo. Send us a photo to The Valley Outdoors.
Just go on our website. You can just send comments.
Send there. A comment. Put a picture in there. This last bait has 3D eyes, natural finish, rubber fins, measures 6.5 inches, weighs 3¾ ounces. So you're almost.
I mean, does it blow bubbles
it's
too?
It's $40 an ounce.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily get into musky baits that are $50, $60, $70. I'm sure, or more.
Generally, it's in that area.
Yeah.
But $1,100?
No,
sorry.
You got to get into the vintage.
Not happening. Not happening. What is happening is we are going to be right back. Stay tuned. We're going to talk a little Devil's Lake and what's going on up there. Stay tuned. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Well, Donald, you know, this winter, it didn't seem like we had a lot of snow, right? I mean, I don't think we had much snow.
Not like some of the previous winters, no.
Right. And there was quite a drought going into last fall, I thought, and then we had rain late, right? So the ground was saturated. Well, tell you what, I think in our conversations we've had recently across the Midwest, there is an abundance of water, and it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah, it seems to be.
I know you had talked about Rainy River, which crosses the northern aspect of Minnesota.
It right.
separates the Canada from Minnesota.
I'll be doing some fishing up there in June, and the word I heard is that the Rainy was up 4 feet, which, you know, I don't know if you've fished the Rainy, but there's the rapids.
I've driven up the rapids, yeah.
I've done it in low water, which can be harrowing. But
it's cool.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
But the they're up like 4 feet, so that's going to raise Lake of the Woods body itself some if that continues. I also talked to a friend that talked to a camp further up in Canada, up by the, I think it's Wabasgang is the lake. And last year he couldn't even get to the camp because the water was down 4 feet. This year his docks are underwater.
A lot of fluctuation.
Because, you know, up there they put them on cribs.
Yeah.
So they're rock solid. So now they're underwater. So it's amazing to me how that can recoup.
Yeah, and Devil's Lake is one that has been has achieved significant attention because of the extreme water in rising or the increases that it's had over the years. Fished it way back when it first started fishing the tour, right when it became flooded. We were fishing in cattails, fresh flooded cattails in 19 feet of water running lead core. And catching fish. The fish loved the cattails. They were not, they were still there. They weren't rotted out yet. What an amazing fishery. And of course, it still continued to just take off, but it's expanded and keeps expanding and growing. And they put a drain on it, basically, and they pump water out of it. But what's going on now is nothing less than, oh boy, here we go again. They've raised the road 4 times in that body of water. Minnewaukan is a town on the far west side. That town is, basically been almost put underwater. The streets have a tendency to be
well. Isn't the issue at Devil's Lake that there isn't a natural outlet for it?
No inlet, but no outlet. So you've got farms and everything else underwater. What's interesting from my perspective is I know a lot of the guides up there, and with the pile of April moisture, as the story says, it's going to result in record flows, said Jeff Firth. He's the manager of the Devil's Lake Basin and Joint Water Resource Board. A couple of buddies of mine, Cody Roswick, used to be from Berkeley. He guides up there now. And he said we needed a shot of moisture, and Mother Nature complied, flooded between the flooded vegetation, et cetera, because it's a lot of trees in that area. If people haven't fished it, there's a ton of trees that are flooded, and those walleyes just love hanging out in those areas. And so to put it in perspective, he said the lake was at 1447.2 feet above sea level before the spring runoff. 1447, right? Predictions call for the lake to rise to 1451. Over 4 feet.
Wow.
Almost 4.5 feet. And they're also talking because once all the snowpack is melted and dumped in, and the April moisture from the heavy snows. Another way to grasp that incoming volume is to translate to total acreage. The lake in the early 90s was 40,000 acres. Now it's 140,000 acres. And by mid-June, it will cover 168,000 acres with that increased water. So he said the previous record flow inflow was 600,000 acres per feet. This year, the new record is going to be 713 acres per feet.
You wonder how they, and I'm guessing a lot of that is ag land.
Yep. A term acre for feet means each acre of land will be covered with a foot of water.
Right.
In the first week of May, 9 county roads were washed out or flooded, with innumerable town roads also underwater. And on May 3rd, the flood emergency was declared for the region. Good news is most ramps are going to be operational. Let's move on to the fun part about fishing. Who cares about flooded roads, right?
Right.
And docks will be installed within days. When it becomes ice-free, they're pretty anxious to get that taken care of. And about a week ago, the water temperature was rather cold, but it's going to be warming up rather rapidly. In early season, it's kind of fun. They do a lot of bobber fishing in the area. And casting crankbaits is also a big technique. So get your casting gear on and get your target, your accuracy arm ready to rock and roll, because that is a fun, super fun thing.
Have you heard anything on the Missouri River system, South Dakota, North Dakota?
It was down. I talked to David Spade out there. David Spade, he's one of the guides out there. And he said the water was down. And, of course, early season, there will be way back in the creek arms and catching fish. Hopefully they've got some, obviously, with the influx of water. They were concerned about the snowpack coming from that area into Oahe, and I hadn't heard or confirmed any reports that said either way. So we'll update that for next week and see what we can come up with. But I will say, when you end up having flow like that coming into a lake, especially Devil's Lake, it changes a lot of things really quick. And but the fishing, what else can you say? The fishing is absolutely outstanding. And in my mind, it's one of those things that you can't deny to go visit. Have you ever fished it?
I have not. This is funny.
The whole lake is freshwater shrimp. That's one of the big things, the forage base, right? They hook onto trees, so when you go into the woods, when you're fishing in these trees and do some bobber fishing, you tap on the trees, and you just sit there, and a lot of these fish come through in waves, and a lot of times you may back out and throw the bobbers in, but when the trees are a certain point, you want the break line to be in the trees and then just exit as you're coming out of the tree, so you can back off, anchor, and then throw it right into that break, because those fish will swim right along the break line. And again, the trees won't be necessarily all the way to the sticking up in the air, because a lot of guys went out in the winter and chopped them off.
Oh.
But talk about fun when they come through. There's nothing more fun than you having to crank your drag all the way down and muscle a 5-pounder out of the trees. It is awesome.
Sure.
It is fun. So
that would be fun.
Two bobbers out, and you cast a crankbait, and you can see them coming up to hit the bait, which is absolutely amazing. But
what are you using for bait then?
Leeches.
Okay.
Yep. You hook them through the middle so they swim sideways. Yep. Very light hook, and it's amazing. Speaking of amazing, we're done.
Well, just a reminder, your Wyoming tags, if you're heading out west this fall, need to be applied for by the end of this month.
Perfect. 31st. Get them in, get them done. Speaking of done, we are done. For Don, myself, Eric, and Ava, we are Valley Outdoors. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.